We'll be taking our reading from Mark chapter number 5, and we'll be in about the first 13 verses. Just very familiar scripture this morning. Sort of a different message that God laid on my heart this morning and throughout the week. And I ask you just to pray for me that I'll preach what God's laid upon my heart. And, you know, I know the Bible tells me that God's word will not return void. And, you know, so sometimes I don't understand exactly the messages that God sends my way. And sometimes I tell my wife, I try to scare her right good, and I go in and I say, I'm sort of a weird message I'm going to preach this morning that may be the last one. They may get rid of us after this one, but God always knows what he's doing, and I tell you, I can find help in God's word. I'm glad that this is the living word, and every time that I read it, I can read the same verses of scripture over and over and get different meanings from it and get God show me the different things in his word, and he's always there to help me. And I just want to thank him for his word and him being able to speak to us through his word. Thank him for being with us this morning. I do want to encourage you for just a minute. Wednesday night we had a special treat, and I know some of you may not be able to be here on Wednesday nights, but Robert and Joanne Lucas have been coming to church here for a little while, and their family, and man, just really appreciate the fellowship and the relationship that we've built with them, and they were able to come and share with us on Wednesday night, and man, had a lot of good, positive response. Man, God has taken something that maybe doesn't make sense to us to happen in their life, and man, he's just using it all around them, and God has really blessed them to come and share that with us. If you are not here Wednesday night, I want to encourage you to go back onto our Facebook page. I don't know whether we put it on our app or not, but it was on our Facebook page, and if you will, go back and take a look at that and let God encourage you through the experiences of someone else's life, because so many times when we go to God's Word, we look and say, yeah, but that's been 2,000 years ago, and that's been this long ago, but I want to tell you what, our God is the same God today as he was then. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, and man, he is still working in people's lives. But if you will, bow your heads and pray with me and pray for me for just a moment that God will just use his word to speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this day, God, and we thank you for all your many blessings. God, we want to thank you for each and every one that's here this morning. God, for first-time visitors that may be with us, God, we just want you to bless them and touch them, God. And God, we ask you to put them in the church that you would have them to be in. We would love for it to be here at Fellowship, God, but if your will is for them to be somewhere else, long as they're preaching the true word of God, I pray that you'll put them there and that they'll grow in grace and knowledge. And God, maybe some that's with us this morning that hasn't been here for a while, we want to thank you for them being here. God, we ask you, dear Father, Lord, just to bless those. But God, we want to thank you most of all that you're here with us this morning. God, we want to thank you for your presence that we feel. God, I pray as we get into your word that you will continue to work in our hearts and our lives, God, that you'll take your word and that you'll speak to us. God, I don't understand whatever message is for, and God, I don't know what it's for. But God, I know that you know exactly what you're doing, and we're going to trust you, we're going to lean on you, and God, we're just going to depend on you to take your word and speak to our hearts in the way that we need. God, we pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, that today will be the day that they come to know you as their personal Savior. In Jesus' name that we pray, amen. Mark chapter number 5, we'll begin reading with verse number 1. Before we get into chapter 5, verse number 1, if you back up into chapter 4 for just a moment, you can read about the event where the disciples were going across the sea, and Jesus was in the ship with them, and all of a sudden, they were in the middle of a storm, and as they were in the middle of this storm, they began to grow weary and to grow afraid, and I want you to notice that they had Jesus in the bottom of the ship the whole time, and he was asleep, and they waited until there was no hope, nothing else that they could do before they went and woke Jesus up. And we know that Jesus stepped out onto the bow of the ship, and that he commanded the winds and the waves. He said, peace be still, and the winds and the waves laid down. And then we come into chapter number 5. So as we come into chapter number 5, we know that Jesus has power over nature, that Jesus has power over what's going on in the disciples' life at this minute through nature. And then in chapter number 5, verse number 1, the storm has ceased. They're coming to land on the boat. Verse number 5, and they came over to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. This morning, as we're getting into God's Word, I want you to take notice of verse number 6. The Bible tells us that there was a man that had something going on the inside of him that was destroying him. That there was a man that had something going on the inside of him that was causing him to be untamable, that was causing him just life troubled day in and day out. The Bible tells us that he was running around, and you can go into another verse of Scripture over in Luke, and you can see the account of this. And the Bible tells us that he's running around naked out here in this graveyard, and that he's taking these stones, and he's cutting himself, and he's crying, and it's all because of something that is happening on the inside. He doesn't appear to be bound, because the Bible tells us that they have tried to chain him, and they have tried to tame him, and yet he has plucked those asunder, that he has pulled the chains out of the wall, and that he is running around. But I want you to notice in verse 6, it says, "But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him." If you're here this morning and you need help from Jesus, I want to tell you that if you will open your spiritual eyes, that you can see that God is here to help you this morning. You may have come here this morning and you have a need in your life and you have something and some kind of trouble in your life. I want you to know that God has met with you here this morning, that God has met with me this morning, and he is here to help us if we will just open our spiritual eyes to where our help really is. See, so many times we're looking for help in this world. We're looking for help in everything except for where help truly is, and that is in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, he says, "But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him," verse 7, "and cried with a loud voice, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.' For he said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.' And he asked, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, 'Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them.' And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. I'm going to slow down just a minute this morning. I want us to think about what was taking place in this man's life. As we look at this man and we see a man again that doesn't appear to be bound. The Bible tells us that he is running around in the tombs, that he is cutting himself. And yes, we can see that there is trouble in his life, but he doesn't seem to be chained up. He doesn't seem to be shackled. He seems to have some type of freedom in his life. I want us to know this morning that sometimes as people look at us, they don't see what's really going on the inside of our lives. We don't seem to be bound up. We don't seem to be in a place that we are in a place that we're shackled and that we are burdened and that we have these things going on in our lives. But just as this man didn't on the outside appear to that, these people knew that he had some trouble, but they didn't know how large the trouble really was in his life. No man could see what was controlling him, not even him, but there was definitely a force on the inside of him that was controlling him. His family and friends had tried everything to help him, even to the point of chaining him down to keep him from hurting himself, even to the point of putting him out here in this graveyard by himself where he wouldn't harm anyone or maybe wouldn't even harm himself. They cared for him, they loved him, but in the end, this man was alone in a graveyard and his life was being destroyed. In the end, this man was out here and he had something on the inside of him that was ripping him apart, that was destroying him, that was taking control of his life. And even though nobody could see what it really was and nobody could see on the inside of this man, the Bible plainly tells us here that there is something that is controlling this man and that is destroying him. Christians, I want us to look into our lives this morning, and even if you're here and you're lost this morning, I want us to look into our lives, and I want us to look and see if there are things that are in our lives that are controlling us, if there's things that are in our lives that are putting shackles and chains, and they are holding us back from doing what God wants us to do or having the freedom. The Bible tells me that if the Son therefore shall set you free, that you are free indeed. And we're supposed to be a free people this morning. We are supposed to be in a place to where we are free and that we have liberty by the grace of God. But I'm afraid that today there are many of us and we're walking around and nobody be able to see from the outside looking in that there's something going on in your life. Nobody may be able to see from the outside that there is something that is controlling you, that is shackling you, that is chaining you up to where you cannot be free like God intends for you to be free. But we know, each and every one of us, we know whether we have things in our life that are controlling us. And you know, people may try to help us. People may try to be there for us. They may try to support us. But in the end, it seems like we always end up alone to deal with our issue.
It seems like we always end up in a place to where nobody knows what's going on in my life but me and God, and we feel like we're there all alone to deal with our issues. You may have something going on in the inside of you. Look, I want you to notice what happens right here as what was going on inside of this man and this demon, this demonic force that was on the inside of him. The Bible says that when Jesus asked the man his name, that he said, "My name is Legion, for there are many." Now, I don't know how many demons this man had in himself, but it was enough to take 2,000 pigs and run them off a herd into the ocean and kill himself. And I want you to know this morning that we may be sitting here this morning and from the outside looking in, you don't seem to be chained. You don't seem to have any kind of restraints on you. But on the inside, there may be something that is controlling you, and it may be something that is bad enough that would kill a whole herd of pigs. But from the outside looking in, everybody thinks everything's okay. And you say, "Preacher, you're getting crazy on us now. We don't know what you're talking about." Well, let me get down to the point this morning. I believe that we have Christian people who say they have trusted in God, that depression has taken over their life, that there's something going on the inside of them that nobody else can see, and they feel like they're there to deal with it alone. And this depression, if it was to turn loose, and if it was out here where everybody could see it, it might be enough that would actually kill some of us, that would actually kill our spiritual being. I believe that there's Christians this morning that may have anger built up on the inside. There's something that's happened to you in your life. There is something that's happened to you or to your family. Somebody has crossed you in a wrong way, and you are hoarding up this anger. You're in a place to where this anger is tormenting you and is controlling your life. There may be jealousy in your life. There may be someone around you that just seems like they're always on your case, or there may be jealousy there. There may be brokenness, something that's happened really bad in your life, and this thing is controlling you and is keeping you from being free the way that God wants you to be free. You may have some bad memories in your life. You may can look back at some things that's happened in your life and you don't understand why they happened in your life, but it is something that is controlling you from the inside out. I don't know it. Your friends may not know it. Your spouse may know it. Your closest people in your family may know it, but you know that there's something on the inside that is controlling you. You know that there's something that's there that is binding you and that is holding you captive. Hey, there may be secrets in your life that are holding you captive. There may be things that have happened. Hey, I remember when, listen, I got a conscience as big as this church. My conscience just absolutely kills me sometimes. I can't do anything wrong. It's just awful. You need to be able to do something wrong just every now and again, okay? And when I do, I'm not saying that I'm perfect. I'm just saying that when I do, it eats me alive. I can remember being probably either in kindergarten or first grade, and there was a little girl that wanted to kiss me. It wasn't Autumn, but I didn't know Autumn when I was in first grade. And this is a first grade kiss, so maybe I'm not going to end up in the doghouse with this one. But I can remember that there was this little girl that wanted to kiss me, and I don't blame her. I mean, I would want to, too. So, but for somehow or another, I ended up kissing this little girl at school, you know. And my daddy, for some reason, this thing got to bothering me. And I'm telling you, conscience is terrible sometimes. So my conscience got to bothering me that I've kissed this little girl. I'm not confessing to anything this morning. That I have kissed this little girl at school. I mean, it's just eating me alive. And somehow or another, this conversation has started in our house, and I began to try to explain away how, and I said, "Daddy," I said, "this is what happened." And this was a total lie, so I had to come clean with this one later too. I said, "Daddy was doing fish lips." Anybody know what fish lips are? You know, when you suck in the sides of your jaw and make fish lips. I said, "And somebody pushed our heads together, Daddy." That's all it was. That was a total lie. It wasn't. I mean, I kissed this little girl. And my conscience, but you know, that secret, for the short time that I had it, that's the only secret you're getting out of me. I'm not telling you anything else. That one was innocent. So, but as we look in our lives, sometimes we have little secrets that are in our lives. And they begin, just like a little piece of sand, they begin to rub. And they begin to get in there, and they begin to control us. And we got this secret down. And you know, your secret may be a depression or anger or jealousy, bad memories, or it could be some kind of secret that's going on in your life, and it's controlling you, and it is getting you in a place where you don't feel free in God anymore. You don't feel like you can just be worshiping God the way that you should. You don't feel like you can let others know how good God is, because this thing is beginning to boil on the inside of you. I would dare say that if you ask every single one of us, and if we would be truthfully honest, I'm not going to ask you your secret, but we all have a secret somewhere. We all have something down deep that we've never told anyone. And we have this secret, and if we're not careful, things like that begin to control us on the inside. You might have some kind of bitterness. There may be somebody that's crossed you the wrong way, somebody that said something to you the wrong way, somebody that is in your life constantly, and it seems like they're always working against you in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Well, I want to tell you something. As we look at this man in the Bible in Mark chapter number 5, that had all of these demons on the inside, and it was controlling him, and there was a physical change in him, is the only way that somebody noted it, that we as human beings, we are good at hiding if we have something on the inside that is tearing us apart. We have become good at letting everybody else see this facade that we have. We've become good at putting on our Sunday morning church clothes and coming in here and going through the motions of worshiping. We've become good at coming in here and putting a smile on and saying, man, everything's great in my life, when there's something on the inside that is absolutely tearing us apart. We're good at hiding our real selves. There may be mistakes that you've had in your life. Hey, I made a mistake and I didn't raise my family the way that I wanted to raise them. I've made a mistake and I've done this or I've done that. And I mean, it was truly a mistake. At that point in time, you was doing everything that you knew to do and you was doing it the best way that you knew how. But looking back, you can see the mistakes that you made. And now those little things, I want to tell you the reason that these things bother us is because a lot of times it's the devil getting in there and he's wanting to affect your relationship with God. He's wanting you not to feel free. Because when we get to where we're not feeling free, we're not bragging on the power in the name of Jesus. We're worried about what all we've done wrong in our lives and the bitterness and the jealousy and the anger and all the depression and everything that's in our lives. You may have some real failures in your life. I have some failures in my life. I can look back and actually I was coaching softball with someone yesterday and he told me of a time in his life that he said that his little team wasn't doing very good in a tournament. And he said that he got so upset with them that he just told him, he said, I tell you what, y'all just coach yourself through the last game. I'm done. And he let them do all the coaching for themselves in the last game. And he said, you know what? He said, I will never, ever forget that. And I wished I could go back and change it. In short, that was the conversation. And you know, there may be some failures that we hang on to. And they eat us alive and they tear us up. And then to get down to where most of us are, there may be some sin in our life. Now, again, I put all my stuff on the front up here. A lot of times, I'm not going to confess my sin to y'all. I'd like for you to continue to come to church, so I'm not going to confess my sin to you. But if we would be honest, every single one of us battle sin. Lynn was teaching this morning, and he was talking about how strong and how powerful that war is between the flesh and the spirit. He was talking about how the things, how Paul wrote, this is my way, I can't say it like Paul did, the things that I would do, I do not. And the things that I wouldn't do, those things are the things that I do. And we get in that battle, and before you know it, we fall and we come short, and all of a sudden, there's sin in our life. All of a sudden, there's something in our life that we know that we shouldn't have done. We know that it was wrong. And sometimes we are truly tricked by the devil, and there's a snare out in front of us, and we step into that snare. And then sometimes the temptation is laid there, and we choose it, and sin enters into our life. And those things, they get in there, and they begin to twist and turn, and they begin to destroy us. And whether everybody else can see it, they had done took this man out into the tombs and turned him loose, and he was cutting himself and crying. And a lot of times on the outside, we got this great big smile on our face. And man, glory, hallelujah, everything's good, and man, God's good. And on the inside, we are tore up. I mean, we are cutting ourselves with stones. We're crying out. We're saying, I'm weak. I don't have the strength that I need to have. And some of y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy this morning. Maybe you've not been there, but sometimes I have spiritual pity parties in my life, and I need help from God. And this morning, as we look at this man in Mark chapter number 5, and we see that he has all of these things going on the inside of him, we see that it seems like he's alone. We see that there is things controlling his life that maybe no one else can see. No one else can see that it's there, but you know that it's there. Some have tried to help, but now you seem that you feel alone to deal with it. But I want you to notice that when Jesus, not only did he have power over nature, not only was he able to deliver his disciples when they were on this boat and they began to be afraid, not only did he have power to step out on that on the bow of that ship and say, peace be still, and the winds lay down, and the storm calmed down. But I believe that he crossed that sea for a reason. I believe that that was just his destination, that he knew where he was going, and he knew who he was going to. I believe with all of my heart that he took the disciples there, and he said, first of all, I'm going to show you that I can control the wind. I'm going to show you that I can control the waves. But then we're going to go over here to another man that needs our help, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus knew what he was doing. And if we're here this morning, and we have things going on in our life, if you have the depression, the bitterness, the jealousy, the sin, the failures, the mistakes, if you have any of those things that's going on in your life, I want you to know that you're not here by just a coincidence this morning. You're not here by just a happenstance, that you are here by the divine will of God, and that God is reaching out to you and saying, I'm here. I only not have power over the weather. I don't only have power over nature, but I've got power on your life. I have power on what's going on in your life. If you need help from God this morning, I want you to know that he may be look like he's afar off, but if you'll run to him, that he has help for you this morning, that he has strength for you this morning, that he is able to calm anything that's going on in your life. It's time that we look up and we see where our help is. It's time that we look and we say, God, I want to give you complete control over what's going on in my life. God, I know there's sin there, and I want to give you that sin. God, I know there's bitterness there, but God, I want you to take that bitterness from me. God, I know that there's mistakes and failures. There's depression in my life. God, I want to give it to you. I want to walk with you. I want to love you. I want to trust in you. And God, I know you can take all of these things out of my life, but how do I do it? But how do I do it? I want you to notice what this man did. I want you to notice this man didn't go memorize his King James Bible. This man didn't get up and sing Amazing Grace. This man, he didn't whip out his wallet and pay $2,000 to the church. He didn't join the church. He didn't go jump in the river and get baptized. The Bible says that he ran to the feet of Jesus and he began to worship him. And he began to recognize Jesus for who he was. You know, the rest of those disciples were there with him, but this man didn't run to any of those. He ran to Jesus. And I want to tell you this morning that there is help through Jesus, but you're going to have to run to Jesus. You're going to have to say, Jesus, I know you're my help. I know you're my strength. I know you're my cure for what's going on in my life. And I'm not going to tell you that it's going to be a fix-all right just first thing, that everything's going to be wonderful and the sun's going to be brighter. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to realize that you got somebody that's going to carry you when life gets tough. You're going to realize that when those burdens are about to overtake you, that he says, cast your cares upon me because I care for you, that he wants to yoke up with you. He says, you yoke up with me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That Jesus wants us just to run to him and say, here's my life. I completely give it all to you. You know my sin. You know my failures. You know my mistakes. You know my bitterness and my anger and my jealousy. God, you know it all. So here it is. I'm laying it to you, and I'm going to worship you because I know you got it. I know you can take care of it. Man, this life can be cruel sometimes. People can be cruel sometimes. Let's just be honest. If every one of us would think for just a minute, there's probably somebody in our life right now that if we wanted to, we could be bitter towards them, that we could be angry with them, that we could hold a grudge. I tell you what, the longer that we hold on to that, the more that it destroys us. It don't destroy them whatsoever. I mean, you can ride by their house and throw rocks through their windows or do whatever you want to do, and it still ain't going to take care of that. I'm going to tell you what's going to take care of it is when you finally say, Jesus, I've got a problem, and I need you to take care of it. This man ran to Jesus, and when he finally ran to Jesus and said, here, I know that you can fix my problems. The Bible tells us that he spoke to those demons that were on the inside of them, that those demons went into a herd of swine. They ran down into the river. I don't care what happens to them pigs. As far as I care, they become bacon. I'll eat them in the morning. Don't matter to me whatsoever. But I'm going to tell you, I don't care what happens to my problems either. As long as God helps me with my problems, as long as God gives me strength to get through my problems, they're not going to vanish. They're not going to go away. But I promise you, he will help you take care of your problems. There's a young Christian in our church not long after he got saved. Talking with him one day, and he was actually talking to some other people around us. And one of them said something, and he told him, he said, well, I've started going to church, and I've got saved. And he said, life seems better now. He said, don't get me wrong. Look, here's the key right here. Don't get me wrong. I've still got all the same problems that I had. I've just got somebody to help me handle those problems. Man, that's what we're looking for, ain't it? You know, you're still going to battle the bitterness. You might still battle depression. You might still have anger, but I'm going to tell you something. If we'll get to the place that we just say, here, God, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to trust in the name of Jesus with this. I promise he will help us with what's going on in our life. Jennifer, if you will, come on. Hannah, get us an invitation to him. I'm going to be done here in just a minute. On the outside looking in this morning, no one else may know what's going on in your life. As they're coming, I just want you to bow your heads and close your eyes for a minute. I'm not going to ask you your problems. I'm not going to ask you to admit to me your problems. But I want you to look into your life for just a moment. Is there something going on in your life right now that is keeping you from feeling the freedom that God wants you to have? That's keeping you from feeling the liberty that God wants you to have? That's keeping you from pointing others to the cross because you're dealing with things on the inside of your own self? Can I just be honest with you this morning and say that I have some in my life? You don't have to admit yours to me, but I will admit to you there's just things in my life that controls my relationship with God sometimes. That there's things going on in my life that I need to run and say, Jesus, here, I'm going to trust you with this. I'm struggling with it, and I can't handle it on my own. Nobody else knows what's going on. Because on the outside, you know, I'm their pastor. I'm a preacher. I put my tie on, and I put my holy britches on to come to church. And, man, everything looks like it's great in my life. Got a wonderful family. Got a good job. Got an outstanding church family that I love with all of my heart. But when you get down deep, there are things in our lives that control our liberty, that control our relationship with God. You don't see it, but me and God knows it's there. Well, I'm just about tired of dealing with it. I'm just about sick of trying to control it on my own. And I'm going to tell you what. I believe that God sent me this message, if for none of y'all, but for me, that I need to run and give it to Jesus. I need to run and say, God, here it is. You know what it is, God. I don't have to tell my congregation what it is, but God, you know what it is, and I'm done with it. God, it's yours. You carry it. I know that God, you're my heavenly Father. You know what? If my son or my daughter's come to me and said, I've got something I need you to help me with, there's not enough devils in hell to keep me from helping my kids with something they come and ask me with. And our God feels the same way with us. If you've got something in your life, let me advise you in something. Meet me around this altar here in just a minute. Meet me right here at this altar and let's give it to God. Preacher, I need help. Well, let me tell you where it's at. It's first of all in knowing and admitting that it's there, and then knowing and admitting that Jesus Christ is the answer to that. Lord, I want to thank you and I want to praise you for this time you've given us together this morning. God, I want to thank you for some things that you've showed me in my life. God, I pray for everyone in this congregation, God. God, if there's something on the inside of us that is controlling our liberty, that is controlling us, God, God, I pray that you'll help us to come give it to you this morning. God, I pray most of all, if there's one here today that sin is controlling them, that they're in a lost state in their life, God, that they'll come and accept you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hannah's going to sing for us. Maybe you're just fine as you stand to your feet. Maybe everything's just wonderful in your life. Maybe you don't have anything that gives you issues in your life, but if you do, won't you meet me around this altar? Let's pray and ask God to help us. Let's get free from all the things in our life that are controlling our relationship with God. Let's give them to God and know that he's the answer to our problems. Go ahead, Anna.
I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, it just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more, and all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fill. So leave it all behind and come to the well. So bring me your heart, no matter how broken. Just come as you are when your last prayer is spoken. Just rest in my arms a while. You'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fill. So leave it all behind and come to the well. And now that you're full of love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all of the world will see living water is found in me. 'Cause you've come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well.
Amen. Thank you for your attendance, for your attention this morning. I do want you to notice that at the end of that scripture, that everybody else came back to look, and they found him clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. He can handle it. He's got it. Let's trust in him. Thank you for being here this morning. We really do appreciate you being here. Let's pray for one another. You know, sometimes it's hard for me to pray for myself, but let's pray for one another that we'll trust God and then we'll give God our whole entire lives. We'll completely surrender unto God, and then that he'll take us as a body of believers and he'll use us to bring him glory and to point others to the cross of Christ. We're going to be dismissed in just a moment. I do know that we have a quick little point of business that we needed to be, that we need to take care of this morning. I'm going to go to the back door, so if you're here visiting with us this morning and you don't want to hang out for just a minute, we're not going to officially dismiss if you're here and don't mind staying, but I'm going to get there just in case you're leaving. I want to speak to you before you go, but do pray for one another this week that we'll just be what God would have us to be. Lynn, if you will, dismiss us in a word of prayer and open up our business meeting.